digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Bomb!
This is Hawkins. We've reached emergency medbay with the president.
Vice President Daniels is running this country now. He will implement your security plan.
Agent Lowry, these men are responsible for the attempted assassination of the president.
I have the vice president calling for Mr. Buchanan.
Bill, I see from the White House flashes that President Palmer granted Charles Logan some kind of furlough.
Logan claims he can help us find Dmitry Gudenko.
How?
Through the Russian consul in Los Angeles.
The bomb that exploded this morning was a Russian suitcase nuclear device supplied to the terrorists by Dmitry Gudenko. Where is he?
I don't know.
Yes?
The United States has connected you with terrorists.
The reason we brought the Arabs into this was to conceal our involvement. Now we expose. Russia is exposed.
Jack, you just spent nearly 2 years in a Chinese prison because you violated the sovereignty of their consulate. Now you plan to go back into the Russian consulate and take a chance on that happening again?
How do I find Gudenko?
No, Mojave Desert, Shadow Valley.
What is he doing?
Launching drones.
How soon will the drones be ready?
In 2 hours, all the bombs will be in the air.
Don't move in yet. He's too close to Marco.
No!
The following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
President Logan is led into CTU. His expression is demure but watchful. Morris casts him a look in passing. So does Chloe. Logan is ushered by his guards into what seems to be an interrogation room. Milo looks on. Chloe approaches the guards at the door.
We gotta set the transcript codes for the debrief. Thank you.
Chloe enters the room and places a laptop on the table. Logan stands calmly looking at her work.
Maria?
I'm just Chloe O'Brien. I need to do something on this computer.
Do you know what's going on with Jack Bauer?
As far as I know, he's still being held in the Russian consulate.
I need to talk to Bill Buchanan right now.
He'll be here after his meeting.
Does he know that I'm all alone here in a holding cell?
This isn't really a cell, and you're hardly alone. This is standard procedure for someone who's under house arrest.
Excuse me?
Sorry, I'm feeling ambivalent. I'm gonna go.
Chloe hurries away, leaving Logan nonplussed. Bill walks through CTU.
All right, I want to introduce everyone to Mike Doyle. He's the new head of field ops just in from Fort Bragg. I want all tactical and comm agents to report to him directly. Jack Bauer is currently being held captive in the Russian consulate. I haven't opened up that information to anyone on the outside. Doyle will help you put a tactical profile together for an assault on the consulate.
So we're prepared to provoke an international incident just to liberate one of our own operatives?
No, liberating Jack is a secondary goal. Our primary objective is to abduct Anatoly Markov, the consul. Now, according to Jack, Markov knows how to find Gudenko, who controls the remaining 3 suitcase nukes.
Excuse me, but is nobody worried that this could be considered an act of war against the Russians?
Ultimately, it's the vice president's decision if we go in or not. But if Jack is right and Markov is working with Gudenko, the Russians will have to back down.
Sir, Logan is ready for you.
Thank you. I want a comprehensive siege profile on my desk ASAP.
Who has the control keys for the main servers?
I do.
Okay, bracket the scenarios into 3. I want projected outcomes based on different levels of personnel.
Doyle, normally we run general attack assessment first, then if
I don't care what you normally do, Pressman. And I wasn't speaking to you. I was talking with her.
Yeah, it's so weird because I had this thought that you might come here and not be a jerk like you were in Denver, but you are.
That's right. Just like Denver. Let's get to work.
Take it, you know him?
Yeah. I don't like him very much.
Does he know what he's doing?
Yeah, he's good.
Nadia and Milo leave the room. Chloe approaches Morris.
What did Buchanan say?
We're ready to move on the consulate, pending White House approval.
Is Jack on his own?
Yeah. This is all about getting Markov. Not saving Jack.
Chloe looks pensive. At the embassy, Jack is being pushed along by the security chief. Jack is thrown down the stairs onto the corpse of the other security man. Markov observes via CCTV.
Yeah.
I'm terminating the American. Do you confirm?
Yes.
And you're sure there won't be any political complications?
Not if we stick to our story. The American kills a head of security, tries to escape.
As the Russian raises his gun to shoot Bauer, Jack lassoes the man's hands with a belt. He catapults the man across the floor. Jack edges towards the Russian's gun. The Russian pulls a flick knife. Jack shoots him dead. Markov picks up a walkie-talkie.
The American has shot Vasily. He's in the basement. Find him.
Jack retrieves the flick knife. The guards spring into action. Jack stalks down a corridor, gun raised. He opens a side door into a kind of storage room. He looks around and notes a wall-mounted phone. The uniformed guards are hot on his heels, however. They burst into the room, but Jack is not there. They search the room diligently enough at floor level, then leave, having failed to see Jack hiding on a high shelf.
Castle Markov.
Yes.
We haven't found the American, but I locked down the perimeter. There is no way to leave the building.
Can't be allowed to call out. Shut down the phone lines, DSL, everything.
Jack leaps down from the shelf, clutching his aching ribs. Holding his gun poised, he crosses to the phone and dials out. At CTU, Morris picks up.
CTU O'Brien.
Morris is Jack. I know how to find Grudenko. He's there. Morris.
Jack?
Jack.
The phone now dead, Jack hangs up. Morris seems to be trying to do a workaround. Jack spots some heavy-duty electrical junction boxes on the far wall. Crossing to these, he flips one open and, using the muzzle of the pistol, causes a short circuit which plunges the embassy basement into darkness. End of part one.
Sir, Morris just got a call from Jack. The line went dead before he could finish, but he says he knows where Grudenko is.
Did you trace the call?
He's still inside the consulate.
All right, monitor everything in case he calls back and tell Doyle Bauer's got key intel is no longer dispensable.
Got it.
Milo hurries away. Logan waits thoughtfully but with an edge of impatience in the holding room. Bill Buchanan enters. The two men exchange a constrained half-smile.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to reschedule our debrief.
Why?
We have an immediate situation in the Russian consulate.
Does this have something to do with Bauer going back in there to question Markov? Please, Bill. Maybe I can help.
Bill hesitates and then returns to the table.
Jack was able to get Grudenko's location from Markov. He tried to call us, but was cut off before he could say more. He's either being held prisoner in the consulate or he's being pursued.
Then I was right, Markov is involved. And he will do whatever it takes to keep Jack quiet.
We have to extricate Jack. And failing that, we have to go in and remove Markov and interrogate him ourselves.
We don't have time to go through the red tape.
There's not going to be any red tape. I'm launching an assault team.
No, that is a huge mistake. Markov will not let himself be taken alive, and he will kill Jack Bauer.
We have to try something. We're running out of options.
If you're trying any pressure from the top, from President Suvorov?
Vice President Daniels has spoken to Suvorov. He's reluctant to act. It's a diplomatic standoff.
He needs to be convinced to get involved.
I don't know how to do that.
I do.
How?
My ex-wife, Martha, she became friends with the Suvorovs, especially the wife. Anya can get through to Yuri. He listens to her. They're a very good team.
With all due respect, hasn't Mrs. Logan been institutionalized?
That's beside the point. She's in a unique position to help us.
All right, I'll put a call into her.
Bill, let me do it. Martha can be very difficult. I think it would be best if I talked to her.
I didn't realize you were on speaking terms.
We're not. But I think I can get through to her. I know I can. Please, let me try.
That's the way I want it.
Yes.
How many on each of those teams?
Five.
Okay, make it three. More teams, more area covered.
Fine.
Who's estimating the consulate defense figures?
That would be me.
Where are the numbers?
I'm just sorting them before I put them out.
Of course you are. Where are the numbers?
Oh, I see. It's about whether or not it takes 8 seconds or 10 seconds.
Are your numbers sorted three ways? Pick one.
Doyle grabs Morris's throat.
Hey!
Do I have your attention? Because I only want to do this once. I have 25 soldiers that are about to put their asses on the line. Whether they live or die largely depends on what gets done here. That's not to mention the larger threat of three nuclear weapons that may be down the street for all we know. So, if anyone has a problem taking orders from me without giving me lip, tell me now, and I will have you reassigned.
Doyle glowers around at the circle of resentful CTU operatives, then prowls off.
Doyle.
You keep your hands off of my people. Is that clear?
They need to understand what I expect from them.
I know what you expect. That's all that matters. If almost somebody on my team, you come to me.
Fair enough. Have your team merge their results and download them onto my system.
Doyle stomps away. A wry expression passes across Milo's face.
You all right?
The shirt's a blend. It doesn't wrinkle.
You know what I mean.
Yes. I am all right.
Thought I was a pain in the ass.
In the presidential bunker...
The Vice President likes you, Tom. He hopes you have the right answer for him.
Well, I hope so, too.
Tom Lennox, man of the hour. It's all right. You can leave us alone.
Yes, sir.
Tom's guards leave. Lisa remains in the room.
So, have you given any thought to our earlier conversation?
Yes, I have, sir.
And?
And I agree that the priority here is to protect our country. And I am prepared to look the other way regarding details of the assassination plot to a point.
Well, what does that mean?
It means the truth must ultimately come out. Reed and Carson need to be punished for what they did.
And they will. Look, all I'm trying to do is keep America united. I can't have our critics screaming, look at how bad we are. We're worse than the terrorists. We need to keep our eye on the ball right now.
And on that point, sir, we are in complete agreement.
Good. Because I need you to tell the ambassador of Assad's country that you saw Assad plant the bomb that injured the president.
Lennox's eyes widen.
Sir, looking the other way is one thing. Choosing to tell a lie to the ambassador, that becomes a matter of record.
Daniels looms around the desk and towers over Lennox.
Now you listen to me. If we expect to navigate through this crisis, I need you to cooperate.
Yes, and I would like to cooperate.
I'm still talking. Come on now, Tom. Let's just count our blessings here for a minute. President Palmer survived this awful attack. Neither you nor I had anything to do with his heinous plot to kill him. And the most beautiful fact of all is that we now have the opportunity to implement the correct policy to stop these terrorist lunatics.
Lennox looks up. Daniels puts an arm around his shoulder.
Can you just put aside your distaste for my methods for 1 minute? And think about the great gift that's been given to us.
I will think long and hard, sir.
Now, I need you to tell the ambassador that Assad carried in the bomb. I'll take it from there. Okay. Lisa, get the ambassador clearance and bring him down here. Let DOJ know that Lennox has been cleared of any wrongdoing and will continue serving as chief of staff.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I would like to know what you hope to achieve in your talk with the ambassador.
I want him to know that I hold his country responsible for all of it. The nuke and the presidential assassination attempt. They need to be motivated to rein in these terrorists. And I want them to know that America is mad as hell and ready to retaliate with a nuclear option if they don't.
Tom stares as if into the abyss. 6:20. Into Grudenko's desert hideout drives a large box-shaped van.
Here's fire. It's about time you got here. We need to start loading the bombs.
Fayed climbs out from the back of the van carrying one of the suitcase bombs. The other bombs are unloaded by his team. He walks across towards the drones. Grudenko seems to be pointedly turning his back on Fayed. Fayed approaches and he turns. The nukes are unpacked.
Mr. Vice President.
Bill, you're on speaker. I'm here with Tom Lennox. What's going on at the Russian consulate?
Jack Bauer is still at large and somewhere inside. It appears he now also knows Grudenko's location, but isn't able to get it to us.
All right, then what's the plan?
Former President Logan believes he can convince his ex-wife to put a call in to Anya Suvorov. He thinks the Russian First Lady can get through to her husband.
That's about as likely as the terrorists knocking on my door and surrendering.
I agree. That's why we've also prepared a siege plan. A strike force will enter the consulate and extract Markov for interrogation.
You realize an attack on a Russian consulate is technically an act of war.
I do, sir.
Frankly, I'm reluctant to go the tactical route here. We got our hands full with these terrorists. We don't need to open up another front with the Russians.
Of course, it's your decision, sir, and I understand the politics are sticky. But my responsibility is to stop these nukes. Markov will not surrender willingly. We have to go in.
How long will it take you to put together this siege?
20. About 20 minutes.
All right, proceed as if you're going in. If Logan can be effective before then, great. But don't wait on him.
Yes, sir. You ready?
Yes.
All right, take your team to their first location and await our word.
Got it.
Aaron Pierce, dressed in casual clothes and carrying a grocery bag, walks along a row of what seem to be chalets. He greets a man on guard outside one of these. He opens the door. Inside, Martha Logan reclines in a chair.
Martha, just me. Did you get some rest?
I've been worried about you.
Worried about me?
You shouldn't be out driving around with all that fallout in the air.
Well, I'm keeping a good distance away. How are you?
Well, I've decided to read my book and listen to music. I've lived with enough fear over the years. I didn't need any more.
Good for you. Got your magazines.
Thank you.
And I stopped by Mel's.
Did you get raspberries?
And blackberries and fresh kiwi.
Oh, thank God for Mel. What would I do without that man's produce? Oh, these look beautiful. Here, have one.
I'm fine.
Get that?
Martha Logan's bungalow.
May I speak to Martha, please?
Who is this? It's Charles, Aaron. Please put her on. It's important. Hold on.
Who is it?
It's Charles. He says it's important.
Important to whom?
Mr. Logan, she didn't want to talk to you.
I heard what she said.
Look, listen to me. I'm in CTU in Los Angeles. I'm here on government business, and it has to do with the nuclear attack.
I don't understand how Martha could possibly be of any help.
What you understand really doesn't matter.
I no longer have to tolerate your sarcasm.
Please, this was not sarcasm. Something needs to be done, and I think that Martha might be able to help.
I don't know what to tell you, Mr. Logan, but Martha simply doesn't want to speak with you. She hasn't taken your calls in almost 2 years. I don't know why you think she would now.
Tell her it's about the Suvorovs.
What?
Just do it, please.
Martha, he wants to ask you something.
I don't want to talk to him.
It's about the Suvorovs.
What's wrong? Did something happen?
I don't know.
What is it? Is Anya okay?
Anya's fine, Martha. They're both fine.
Then what the hell do you want?
It's a very delicate matter. There's an international incident brewing, and I think that you might be able to help defuse it.
Let me get this straight. The government is desperate, so they come to you to fix the world, and then you come to me. I can't be dragged in another drama with you, Charles. I won't.
You know what's going on today, Martha. You know that this is important.
This is absurd.
Martha throws the phone down onto a couch and crosses hurriedly to the window. Aaron picks up the phone.
You still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Aaron. You know I wouldn't be playing games on a day like today.
I know.
You need to convince her to see me. I'm going to take a chopper to you, and I'll be there in a few minutes.
Aaron casts a concerned look towards Martha.
Aaron?
All right.
Martha gazes out through the window. 6:26, end of part 2. Part 3, 6:31. Jack moves cautiously through the darkened embassy. Logan sits in a helicopter.
This is Shavers.
Stan, let me talk to Logan.
Sir, it's Mr. Buchanan.
Yes, Bill.
We've dispatched personnel to prepare for an assault on the Russian consulate.
Bill, attacking the consulate is a huge error in judgment.
This has been decided. The only way to avoid full-out confrontation with the Russians is for you to get Martha to make that call before we engage.
Logan appears somewhat daunted. Jack moves stealthily along a dark corridor. He presses himself flat to the wall as armed men pass by ahead of him. A youngish man pulls to the door of a side room half closed and crosses to where a young woman seems to be reading files. Jack slips into the side room where the pair seem to be canoodling innocently.
Slowly, both of you against the wall.
Please, don't hurt her.
I have no intention of hurting either of you. But if you don't cooperate, I will kill you. You understand me? Both of you speak English?
Yes.
I need to make an outside call.
You can't. They've cut all communications from the building because you killed Stovich.
I didn't kill Stovich.
Don't believe you.
I don't have to convince you.
Whatever you want.
In case of an emergency, how do you contact the outside world?
Please, there's a SATCOM phone upstairs.
Get it and bring it down here.
We're in the middle of a lockdown.
That's your problem. Give me that phone. Now!
Okay.
Get against the desk.
Jack slides down the wall, keeping his gun trained on the terrified young woman.
Don't be scared.
Six 6:33, Aaron emerges from Martha's bungalow. On the other side of a green space bordered by tennis courts, Logan's helicopter has touched down. Logan, flanked by two guards, walks across the grass towards Aaron. Logan approaches Aaron. The two men regard each other carefully.
Hello, Aaron. Martha's waiting for you. She's inside.
Thank you.
Logan offers his hand, but Aaron will not shake it.
Martha? I'll get her.
Aaron goes through into the next room while Logan and the guards remain where they are. Logan looks at photos on the side table, one of which shows Martha and Anya Suvorov smiling together. Logan looks up as Aaron returns.
What's the matter?
Apparently she's changed her mind. I'm sorry, but she doesn't want to see you.
Aaron, you have to convince her that this is not about us. This is for the good of the country.
I told her that.
Look, if we don't do something in the next few minutes, there's going to be a U.S.-led assault on the Russian consulate here in Los Angeles. So on top of everything else, we will effectively be at war with Russia.
You've lost weight.
Martha, her hair up, has appeared in the doorway. Logan spins around and stares at her, seemingly moved.
Martha.
So this is the new improved Charles Logan. Reborn.
You look beautiful.
Martha seems to let out an involuntary shudder.
What do you want?
I need you to call Anya Suvorov.
What do you want me to say to her?
She has to convince Yuri to order the Russian consul general here in Los Angeles to surrender himself.
And why would he do that?
Because the man, his name is Anatoly Markov, he's a criminal, and he's working outside of Russian authority.
So what?
He's also a mass murderer. The bomb that went off this morning in Valencia was supplied to the terrorists with Markov's help. There are other bombs out there. He knows where they are.
Why doesn't the White House just contact Yuri directly?
They did. It didn't work.
Why not?
Martha, this is very complicated. Please don't make me explain everything in details.
I'm sorry. Just do as you say without asking. I'm sorry. You haven't changed a bit.
Look at this. I'm still under arrest. After this is over, I go back to prison. I'm just trying to help.
Prison? Oh, is that what you call a 10,000 square foot house with a swimming pool and a tennis court?
Yuri has to be convinced that this man, Markov, is a traitor to his country. Anya can make our case for us. You're the only person who can reach her fast.
Logan fixes her in his snake-like stare. Martha considers, then turns to Aaron.
Do you think I should do this?
Yes, I do.
Logan glances gratefully towards Aaron, then back to Martha, who hugs her own elbows as if chilled.
I need a drink. Not that knocking me off the wagon would be a small price to pay for saving the world.
Logan throws a look of concern at Aaron, who holds his gaze.
Get Anya on the phone. I'll talk to her.
6:42. The terrorists arm the drones. Jack stretches his neck as if in pain. A black van hurries through the streets.
How far are you from the Russian consulate?
We'll be there in a few minutes. Has there been any change of plans?
No, as far as I know, the assault on the consulate's still a go. I'm about to talk to Buchanan now.
Call me if anything changes.
In the presidential bunker...
Have a seat, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you.
How is President Palmer?
Oh, President's a tough man. He's injured, but we're confident he'll make a full recovery.
What a tragic and despicable act.
I agree. What makes it even more troubling is that a citizen of your country, Hamri al-Assad, was responsible for the assassination attempt.
I understand that Assad lost his life in the blast. But I was led to believe that he was working with President Palmer to promote a peace plan.
Well, I'm afraid that was all a ruse, Mr. Ambassador. Assad's real intentions became clear when he detonated the explosive.
You have proof of this?
Conclusive. forensic evidence, as well as at least one eyewitness who saw the detonator in Assad's hand immediately before the explosion. Isn't that right, Tom?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Even if what you say is true, you must know that Amri al-Assad was not working at the behest of our government. He was as much a wanted man in our country as he was in yours.
Oh, not as much. But that's going to change.
What are you referring to?
The terrorists presently on U.S. soil are acting under the orders of citizens in your country who have the support of your government. I know it, and you know it.
That is simply not true.
I say it is, and I'm willing to bet you that I'm right.
What do you mean?
I have a carrier group within striking distance of every major city in your country, waiting for me to give the order.
You would attack us?
Abu Fayyad, a citizen of your country, enters the United States and detonates a nuclear bomb, killing thousands. Next, Assad attempts to assassinate the president.
We cannot be held responsible.
You know fully well that we have cooperated with you since the inception of this crisis. These threats against us are reckless and counterproductive. I had an understanding with your president.
And now you're going to have one with me. You help us find those nukes before another goes off, or I'm going to unleash the full power of our military on your country.
6:44.
All right, keep me posted. Yes.
Thor is approaching the staging area. We can be in the console less than 15 minutes.
It's going to come right down to the wire.
What do you mean?
Charles Logan and I are trying to arrange a phone call between his ex-wife Martha and Anya Subarov.
When?
Mrs. Subarov's giving a speech right now in Omsk. We have to wait till she's finished.
Even if Mrs. Logan can get through to Anya, it's going to take her some time to convince her husband to change his mind.
I agree. That's a long shot.
It shouldn't take much longer.
I don't understand. This is important. Why don't they just interrupt her speech?
It's Russian politics. There's nothing we can do.
Fine.
It's going to be a few more minutes.
Aaron reaches out to the fretting Martha.
What's the matter, huh?
It's taking forever. Aaron, you promise you'll stand by me even if I can't go through with this?
Of course I will. Martha, I'm sorry. The last thing I wanted to do was upset you.
Benny, you always manage to get to that last thing. Let me ask you something, Charles. Does it bother you to see me with another man?
Martha, please.
We as well talk. Fill the time. We never really had any closure. Well?
Yes. It's very difficult if you want to know the truth.
But you've had a rebirth. You should be happy for my happiness.
I am happy for you, Martha.
I'm sure you are. Charles, Aaron has taken such good care of me. I don't know what I did to deserve such a good man. I never knew what that was before. A really good man.
Martha, if it makes you feel better to insult me, please feel free. I didn't come here to fight with you.
It does make me feel better. I can say exactly what I want, finally, without having to worry about incurring your wrath. The great Charles Logan. The president of the universe, the great leader, the murderer!
Martha, I want you to stop this right now. You're gonna get all stirred up.
Oh, well, God, we couldn't have that, could we?
6:47, Martha returns with the fruit she has cut up.
Mr. Logan, if you'd be more comfortable waiting outside, I'd understand.
I appreciate that, Aaron, but I think I'll stay right here.
Actually, I'm very thankful that you've been able to be here for Martha. You are a good man. She's very lucky to have you.
Now you're trying to irritate me, aren't you?
No, Martha, no. I'm not.
Oh, God, the crap. Well, the sincerity, the new enlightened soul. At least you used to be an honest crook.
That's enough. Please.
a good little girl.
Having thrown chopped fruit at Logan, she now clears the plates away and heads back to the kitchen area. She stops, however, then suddenly turns and plunges the large kitchen knife into Logan's shoulder.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I did it. He wouldn't stop.
We need a medic in here right now.
He just wouldn't stop. And I know.
Oh. It must have hit an artery. We need a medic in here now.
Hey, Tully, get in here now.
Somebody, come on.
Logan's eyes widen and his mouth gapes. 6:48, end of part 3. Part 4, 6:53, Logan is wheeled on a gurney.
He's going into shock. Let's get him out of here, now.
Aaron stands holding the phone to his ear. Martha gives him a sidelong glance.
It happened too fast, Bill. I couldn't stop her.
There's nothing we can do about it, Aaron. Right now, I've
been ordered by the Vice President to send an assault team into the Russian consulate. Unless President
Suvorov intercedes.
I understand.
Is Martha capable of having a coherent conversation with Anya Suvorov?
Honestly, I don't know.
Chloe's putting the call through any second. Find out.
Will do.
Aaron crosses solicitously to Martha and sits down beside her.
Why are they doing this to me? I should be given a medal. He was one of the biggest criminals in history. They gave him house arrest.
Martha, we're still in a crisis situation. Are you able to handle a conversation with Anya Suvorov?
Of course I am. I'm not crazy. I know what the stakes are.
Are you sure?
Mr. Pierce, CTU has got Anya Suvorov on the line for Mrs. Logan. They're putting it through now.
Do you know what you're going to say?
Anya, it's Martha.
How are you?
I'm fine. I've been worried about you there in California.
Stop worrying. Everything's going to be fine. I know we have a lot to catch up on, but I'm going to have to be rude and get right to the point. There's not a lot of time.
What is it?
If you've talked to Yuri recently, you know there's a very tense situation going on at the Russian consulate in Los Angeles.
I've heard something about that, but don't know the details.
The details are very important, Anya.
Please, tell me more.
Martha looks up at Aaron. 6:55, in the grounds of the Russian embassy. On top of the perimeter walls, it's a tiny, discreet camera. On the other side of the wall, Doyle and his team lie in readiness for the order to attack. They monitor the goings-on inside the grounds by means of a small screen. Russian guards remain on full alert. Inside the embassy, the villainous Markov skulks behind a door, a satellite phone to his ear.
The Americans stepped on Russian soil. He took me hostage.
We will sort out the details later. Right now, I am ordering you to surrender to the Americans and deliver Jack Bauer unharmed.
I am afraid I cannot do that, Mr. President.
How dare you disobey a direct order? You will do exactly as I tell you!
Suvorov is speechless. Markov's face is set in a bitter mask. Anya Suvorov hands her husband a small phone.
Mr. Buchanan, Consul Markov is not cooperating.
You understand, Mr. President, this leaves me with very few options.
I do. I will personally authorize the use of force against the consulate. The United States of America has the support of the Russian state in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The embassy official returns to Jack with the satellite phone.
I got it.
Get over here. Is anybody going to notice it's missing?
In a few minutes, yes. Make your call. Did it hurt you?
No. It needs the unlock code.
As the official dials out for Jack, armed men burst in. The official is shot. Jack pulls the woman to cover and returns fire. attack team take up positions. Russians fall under the precision fire of Doyle and his men. Another wave of Americans pop up from behind a wall and pick off more Russians. Jack, in his basement office, seems to be having trouble with his pistol. Two men with machine guns stalk into the office. Things are not looking hopeful. In the nick of time, however, a stun grenade is pushed through the window and then American guns pick off Jack's attackers.
Are you hit?
No.
Markov calls Gridenko via the satellite phone.
Yes?
It's Markov.
The Americans are coming in. I thought you had that under control.
No. It won't be long before they have your position.
Hold them off as long as you can.
I will. But you must launch now.
Drop your weapon!
Markov is shot dead.
My name is Jack Bauer. This man needs medical attention. They're not hostiles.
Send medics to the basement. I'm Mike Doyle.
You need to contact Bill Buchanan. Tell him that Fayette and Gridenko are in the Shadow Valley.
Patch me in with Buchanan.
Jack leans against the wall. Fayette looks on as Gridenko works.
This drone is ready to launch. Arm the bomb.
A nuclear device is carefully lifted out of its case.
Got it. Put all the satellite coverage we have on Shadow Valley.
Jack heads out through the embassy. An ambulance speeds along a road. Logan, his upper chest soaked in blood, suddenly opens his eyes.
Sir, stay still. We'll have you at the hospital in a minute. Sir, please don't try to talk.
He's starting to crash. We're losing him.
7 p.m., the end.
The clock ticks again next weekend. Did you see the other Jack playing catch with the others last week? I thought he's been held prisoner. What is going on? A brand new episode of Lost in HD next. And at 11, one sleeping pill too many, and who knows what damage Sean could do. Brand new Rescue Me exclusive to Sky One at 11.